Welcome to the High Value Sales Show of Eversprint.com. I'm Malcolm Louie, the managing member of Eversprint, and today we're speaking with Lou Kachulis, the president of Synergy Comp Insurance Company, a monoline workers' compensation carrier that helps companies create safer work environments. Welcome to the call, Lou.
Thank you.
Lou, you grew your company's revenue from $11.5 million in 2014 to $18.5 million in 2017. A 61% increase, and in 2018, you hit over $23 million. Before we talk about how you grew your company so fast, can you briefly share what your company does beyond my quick intro and how your company differs from the competition?
Sure. If you think about our company, what truly differentiates us in the marketplace is we create safer work environments for employers so that their employees can leave work the same way that they entered work that day. And we tend to work with companies that have experienced poor loss experience, meaning that they've had many accidents, injuries in their workplace. So we tend to work with employers that have experience and have very dangerous workplaces. What we essentially do is we have our employees in their operations on a monthly basis, if not more, but at least on a monthly basis, delivering a business plan for safety. And the way we're paid essentially is by transferring the risk, the employer's risk for these workplace injuries in the form of an insurance policy. So workers' compensation insurance policy. But truly what differentiates us is that we are a safety company.
So you're different in that you sell insurance, you sell workers' comp insurance, but you also have on top of this an additional service to help the companies minimize the claims so that their premiums don't go up, right? Is that the key difference?
Well, we use independent salespeople. So we're not actually selling the insurance, we're providing the coverage. So we are in the risk business, meaning that if what our average insurance policy is about a $260,000, our average policy holder. And if their losses exceed that, then we lose money. If their losses are under that, then that's where we can make money.
Okay. Can you explain a bit more about how those numbers work out? When you say 260K, is that the premium that they're paying?
Yes, that is the premium that they're paying.
Okay. And can you share how you make or lose money relative to that premium?
Yes. So if they have workplace injuries and accidents in a particular employer, and let's just say that employer's average is comparable, their premium to our average, so $260,000. And let's say they have $1 million in losses in any one given year, then we've essentially lost $750,000. If they have $100,000 in losses, we have to put our expenses over and above that. It's not as if we make $150,000, but we can make money on that business. So we're truly in the risk business. So it's not just growing revenues. It's easy in our business to grow revenues. You just underprice risk. However, what's much more difficult is to grow profitably. And fortunately, we have been able to grow profitably.
Right. Now, you said you go through independent third parties to sell the insurance, right? So if they have a claim filed against them, doesn't the insurance pay for it, not necessarily you?
Well, we are the insurance company. So yes, we pay it.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we are the company, and our product or our policies are sold by independent insurance agents.
Oh, okay. I see. So if an independent insurance agent sells your product, not only do they get coverage of workers' comp, but your team also works with that company who bought the policy to ensure that they have a safe work environment. And the incentive for you, of course, is that you want to minimize claims and losses so that, one, you make more money, but at the same time, the company wants that too because they don't want a higher premium going forward.
Yeah, so the independent insurance agent or broker, they receive a commission from us when they sell our policy to one of their clients. And that company then pays the premium to us. We collect the premium, and then we pay all of their losses. So they've transferred their risk for workplace accidents onto us. We are the insurance carrier. Another way of looking at it is, if you think of a manufacturer and a distributor rep, the independent agent is the distributor rep. We are the manufacturer, except we're not manufacturing a product, we're a service. And what we're providing is risk transfer. So we are the insurance company.
Right. But how you differ from the other insurance carriers that provide workers' comp is that you will work with the companies to make them a safer place, right? So that it reduces the likelihood that they will have a loss and file a claim.
Right. Yes. Right. And I would say it's and I could even go back and give you the history of our company. It's not that we set out to start a workers' compensation company. We were originally a retail insurance agency broker, an independent agent that I just spoke of. And what we were finding is that in the marketplace, there was a void in the marketplace in terms of quality safety programs. And then we also found that there was a void for claim service. We felt that there could be a better way of handling or adjusting, adjudicating claims once someone was injured. So what we did was we started with our safety programs, and we were working with many different insurance companies. And we did a study after a period of time, and the study showed that we were decreasing the number or frequency of workplace injuries by 33% and the dollar payouts by 34%. Well, when we got into the claim adjudication business, we were working with larger employers, primarily community-based health systems. And when we compared their reduction in dollar payouts when we were handling the claims and the safety, all of a sudden that number went up to over 62% reduction. So we said, wouldn't it be nice to deliver this high-value service model to what we consider the mid-market? Mid-market being defined as employers that are paying at a minimum of $100,000 all the way up to $2 million in premium. And those employers, our target market, would be employers that have had or experienced higher than average loss experience compared to their industry, and that they need the help. And then we have a heavy emphasis on our safety programs, and our claim programs can be defined this way. Our goal is to provide the best quality of service or best quality health care to return that injured employee to their pre-injury state as quickly as possible. And when you put those two philosophies together and execute it the way we execute it, what we've seen is a 62% decrease in an employer's workplace injuries.
Nice.
Our value proposition is that our average policyholder, and this is dating back from 12 years from the day that we started, receives a 33% reduction in, it's called their experience modification factor, which is a factor applied to their premium, but actually a 37% reduction in their overall premiums. So when they're with us for a period of 4 years, they're essentially receiving almost a 40% reduction. And I like to say, what other line item on their balance sheet or income statement has gone down by 40%?
Right. Now, in the states you operate, is workers' comp a requirement for businesses, workers' comp insurance?
It is. So we actively pursue business in the states of Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Michigan, and Maryland.
Right. So being able to keep your workers' comp insurance is critical, right? Because if your premiums due to losses double for whatever reason, right? If you can't pay it, you can't do business, right?
Right.
Now, what you share with me dovetails into my next question. Now, you grew your business from $11.5 million in 2014 to over $23 million in 2018. Can you share what the three biggest drivers were of that sales growth over the past 4 years?
Well, I think it's somewhat reputation. So in other words, if you're familiar with Net Promoter Score, we survey our policyholders on an annual basis. And Net Promoter Score is a simple survey saying, and you've probably taken one if you're not familiar with that terminology, it's out of a scale of 1 to 10, how likely would you be to refer a Synergy Comp Insurance company to a friend or a colleague? And 9s and 10s, with 10 being the highest, 9s and 10s are considered promoters. 1 through 6s would be considered detractors. And anyone responding with a 7 or 8 are somewhat neutral. So a net promoter score is calculated by taking the percentage of 9s and 10s and subtracting the percentages of 1 through 6s. And anything over 50 is considered excellent. And we're at an 82. So we have our policyholders. We've driven down their costs. They are pleased with the level of service. And by the way, when I say costs, when we talk premiums, that's actually a smaller portion of their total overall costs. So for example, for every premium dollar or loss dollar that we're driving down, those are direct costs, but indirect costs, in other words, what they're adding to their profitability, is typically anywhere from 4 to 52 times what the decrease in their workplace injury costs are. So for example, if they're a airline and mechanics are injured, and because the mechanics are injured, it starts grounding planes, it's 52 times that hits their bottom line or their profitability. However, we say, let's just think about 4 times. So if we're able to drop an employer's claim costs down by $250,000,
yep,
we're actually saving them $1 million or adding $1 million to their profitability.
Right.
Those costs could be. Yes, yes. And just as an example, when someone becomes injured, typically what happens, productivity, if it's in a manufacturing environment, could slow down, could even halt. If it's a serious accident, it's transportation to a medical facility, it's completing a number of forms, it's paying for overtime pay when that employee is off of work, it's lost productivity while that person's off of work. If they're off for an extended period of time, the cost of rehiring, onboarding, and training a new employee to get up to speed to have a comparable productivity level for the employee who was skilled and experienced for before they had their injury.
Right.
So that's where, for example, OSHA would say about 8 times for a manufacturing concern. So for every claim dollar. So even though we're driving down direct costs, meaning their insurance premiums, actually far greater costs are being driven down by those indirect costs.
Right. Got it. Now, so to recap the driver, really, I know we started off talking about the net promoter score and your reputation, but from what you described with me, the number one driver that drove your revenue growth is really lowering, being able to successfully lower the total costs of a company's workers' compensation insurance and claims.
Right. Yes, you're absolutely right. And typically it's not in any one given year. So our value proposition is that we may not be the lowest in any one given year. However, over a 5-year period, we'll be lower than anyone else because we're providing a solution, creating a safer work environment, reducing the number and dollars of workplace injuries, and thereby we're able to reduce long-term in employers what they're paying for their workers' compensation insurance premium.
Right. And you would measure that just by looking at the trend of their claims over 5 years, comparing it to the industry average. And from that, you can extrapolate what the opportunity loss that was avoided from it all. So, great.
We actually measure it on a monthly basis and report monthly to our policyholders. We report to their CEO on a monthly basis.
What do you report? What are in your reports that you share with the CEO?
So we call it a CEO dashboard. So we compare the 3-year average prior to them becoming our policyholder, and then every month they're with us. And then we also are showing them where their workplace accidents are occurring within their company. And again, if we assume a manufacturing, they might have multiple shifts, multiple departments, and we keep a 12-month rolling 12-month average so that we can, I'm going to say, attack the cost drivers. In other words, where in their facilities are they having the unsafe environment so that we can attack that and correct it so that they quit having those workplace injuries and accidents.
And someone on your team is reviewing these reports once a month as well to try to identify the problem areas early on?
Yes. Yes, we have safety professionals in their facilities a minimum of once a month.
All right, fantastic. What's driver number two of your sales growth?
Well, I would say the independent insurance agent. So when independent insurance agents start to work with us and they are interested in providing value to their customers and their clients, they become very supportive of our program.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Yes. So if you think about it, these are, when I say independent insurance agents, they represent many different companies, of which Synergy Comp is just one. And so when they see the differentiation in terms of creating safer work environments, how we adjudicate or process claims, then they tend to prefer us to the competition. And I'll just give you an example through a story. We had one independent agent that said to his client, very powerful statement. He said, I can get you a lower price this year, but I know what you need. And this is the only company that's going to solve your problem and your issue. So if you want a lower price, you can do so with another insurance agent because I will not do that because this is what you need. So
right.
I thought that was very powerful.
Yes, it is. So, I mean, it's kind of a longer game, right? Yes, you can always shop around and find a carrier that's looking to go into a market and underprice the risk, like you said. But in the longer run, if a company wants to lower their overall workers' comp cost, direct and indirect, right, they need to literally improve the safety of their operations. And this is something, and then your company can help them do that.
You're absolutely right. So I'll give you another example, real life example. We had a long-term customer who we worked with, and he's in a galvanizing operation. And he said, I'm going to shop my insurance this year, workers' compensation. And he came in with a proposal that was $50,000 lower mm-hmm. than where we were. So it was $190,000. We were at $240,000. And I thought, oh my goodness, we're at risk of losing this long-term customer. That's a significant differential. He took one look at the competitive proposal and said, that's not enough to move from Synergy Comp. Now, the reason he said that, not that he wanted to pay an extra $50,000, we reduced his cost by over 50% in his company's case. So he didn't want to risk going from essentially $250,000 back up to over $500,000 to take a $50,000 temporary lowering his cost for 1 year temporarily.
Right. Because if you look at it on a total cost basis, mm-hmm. it's not attractive. Because imagine if they switched the carriers, he would realize that he won't be receiving monthly reports. He won't have a member of your team on site reviewing the safety issues, if any, and working to improve them, right? It would just be a simple policy.
Exactly. And then the risk is after a few years, he's paying back up to where he was when we started with him, over $500,000.
Right. Okay. So driver number two, the independent insurance agents who, once they fully understand the value that you provide, right, they buy into it and they mm-hmm. recommend it. And yeah. then you kind of talk, maybe this might be the third driver, how the...
The third driver is we're expanding geographically. So for example, we started out in Pennsylvania only. Now we're in Michigan, Maryland, and now New Jersey. And our plan is to just continue to expand geographically until we cover or blanket the United States.
All right. So to expand geographically, what do you need to do other than being licensed for the state?
Yes, we are a regulated industry. So we do have to apply for licensure in the state that we're looking to expand into. And that's through the insurance department in that state.
Okay. Do you need to have boots on the ground? Do you need to open an office and have a physical presence?
It depends on the state, but typically we would have local representation in terms of our safety professionals. They would be local. And then our claims adjusters would also be local.
Okay, so these would be employees of your company based Correct. Locally?
Yeah.
So you wouldn't like outsource it to a third party firm then who has a local presence?
Correct. Not for claims. Technically, our safety professionals are a third party, but they're very closely related, and they essentially do most all of their work just for us.
Right. Okay. So, all right. So, and then your claims people, I guess, depending on the nature of the state, right? Your claims people might need to travel a bit throughout the state, depending on how big the market is, I imagine.
Yeah, that's correct.
Right. Okay. Great. All right. So just to recap the three drivers to make sure I have it straight. One, your product service lowers the total cost of workers' comp, both the premium and the opportunity costs due to a loss. Second one is, once the independent insurance agents understand your product, they become big fans of it and promote it when they are of the type who look after their clients on a longer term perspective. And the third one is your geographic expansion. You're literally opening up new markets one state at a time.
That's correct.
Okay, fantastic. Now, can you share a little bit about your 2019 plans? What are your plans? What do you see as the biggest opportunity for you?
So we are going to a rating agency so that rates for financial stability, that's called AM Best, and they are, I'm going to say, the gold standard in the insurance business. We are rated for financial stability right now by another rating agency called Demotech, and we have achieved the Demotech's highest rating for financial stability, which is a double prime unsurpassed. However, by going to AM Best and achieving an A- or better rating will help us in our expansion plans and our growth plans.
So the way it works with these rating agencies, you pay them to give you a rating?
That's correct. Yeah, okay. We do pay them.
And once you pay them and they give a rating, do you have if your rating isn't at the level you wish, that rating would be kept private? They give you that choice? Is that how it works?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So if we go to AM Best and we don't agree with their rating, because it is somewhat subjective, and then we could decide that we're not going to accept their rating and we just go on our own way.
Right. But I imagine if you're a little bit short, I'm sure AM Best gives you some details as to why you're rated a B+ instead of an A-, and then you can make adjustments, right, to get you to that level that you wish.
Yeah, it sounds like you've been through the process. Yeah,
familiar on the credit rating side for bonds and stuff. Sure.
Typically they might tell us, as they say, they don't want to run our business, but they might tell us why, if we did achieve a lower rating, why that was or happens to be. And then we have a chance to appeal it and possibly to even make some changes in our operations to achieve a higher rating.
Right. What kind of things does AM Best look at? For sure they look at your financials, right? Because they're going to want to make sure that you can pay out the claims with your balance sheet and how you manage the risk. Are there other things they look at?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's first and foremost. They have a financial rating. They call it a Bakar score, which is really just a balance sheet rating. And I know we rate very strong on that aspect. They also look at and emphasize quite a bit our business model and is it differentiated from the marketplace and where we see ourselves going into the future. They weight heavily ERM, Enterprise Risk Management Plan. And so we tend to have a very robust Enterprise Risk Management Plan. In other words, we look at internally, what are all the risks internally and externally that could affect our business? And what strategies do we have in place to mitigate that risk so that we can be an ongoing concern long term?
Right. Yeah, you don't want your insurance company going bust just because they weren't expecting an event that occurred.
Exactly. Yep. Okay. Or possibly growing too quickly, taking on too much risk while they were growing. They didn't have the right reinsurance contracts. You know, just as you and your listeners buy their auto insurance and they have a deductible, we do as well. Being the insurance company, our deductible is $500,000 in any one occurrence. Mm-hmm. Now, we have over and above that $60 million of reinsurance so that if we did have a $10 or a $20 million loss, that it's not going to adversely affect our company or change the way we have to operate our company.
Right. Now, when do you expect to get your AM Best rating?
We'll present late March. And so hopefully within 4 to 6 weeks after we present, we'll know what our rating is.
Great. And say, so we're talking about May, perhaps, when you have your rating. And say all goes well and you have an A minus or better rating. What would you do next with the rating? How will you let the world know about it?
Yeah, so we will put it on our website. We will notify our Salesforce, which is the independent agency system that has done business with us. And I think it will help us grow. It'll give them also a comfort level on the type of company that we are.
So this is a really quite a big driver then when people consider which carrier to go with. They will, you know, a corporate that meets your criteria when they're evaluating your policy, they will look at AM Best.
Yes. We have gotten around it though. And what I mean by that is we have partnered with a company that has an A- rating with AM Best so that if any of our policyholders, for whatever reason, say they need an AM Best rating, we can provide it to them. It just costs us more and we transfer that cost to the policyholder. So what it's going to do for some policyholders is it's going to lower their costs and lower our costs.
Right. So, okay, good. How about from a sales perspective? You know, what are your marketing plans on that front to get your independent insurance agents more engaged with your product and being more keen and more willing to, you know, present your company's product as an option to their clients?
Yeah, so we grew in 2018 by 34%, and that's all organic growth. We haven't had any acquisition, so all of our growth is organic growth. And we've had actually a couple years of growth back-to-back in the 30s. And being a service model, it's actually, ideally, I would like to see our growth in a linear fashion right at 15%. In other words, we're doubling our revenues every 5 years. We're actually planning on scaling back our growth to 10% so that we can look internally, improve our internal operations, make sure that we are providing the high level of service that we have been providing, that we consistently provide that into the future. I've actually seen some companies grow too quickly in our industry and outgrow their service model and essentially see their company implode. So we're very mindful of that. And we want to make sure that we grow responsibly. So probably unlike a lot of the Inc. 5000 who are trying to grow as much as possible, we're actually going to temper our growth for 2019.
So just a one-year tempering? Or do you foresee it taking more than a year to re-examine and fine-tune your systems and processes?
I would say 1 year. 1 year, and then we'll look to grow probably at a faster rate. I say probably, though, because so much of our growth is somewhat determined on the marketplace. And our business, unlike probably any other business or most businesses, at the end of the year, manufacturing businesses, other types of service businesses, they can tell you exactly how their year went. We don't know how our year just went in terms of profitability for probably another 8 to 10 years, because we'll be paying claims that have occurred this past year, possibly 5, 10 years out. So that's why I say we truly don't know. It's how those claims develop over time or how much we actually have to pay over time until all those claims are closed. Then we'll have a really good idea of how our year actually ended. So because there's a long tail, we call it a tail, meaning that there are payments to be made into the future. Because there is that long tail, our competitors will on occasion underprice risk. If we get into an environment where our competitors are underpricing risk because they like the cash flows today and not really realizing the long-term payouts, and that they will be unprofitable by underpricing that risk, there might be times, this is our business cycle, there might be times when we're actually decreasing our revenues. But as long as we're responsible over the long term, we'd like to see ourselves growing that 15% on an annualized compounded basis, so that in the long term, we're doubling our revenues every 5 years. But the growth will not be linear because of the cycles that we have in our business.
Right. Now, in terms of going back, though, I know you said you're looking to not grow so aggressively. So how will you do that? Right? I mean, you have independent insurance agents who are big fans of your product and service, and you know, they're going to be motivated to show their clients your offering. But if you don't want to grow too aggressively, what are you going to do? Are you going to raise your premium prices to make yourself a little bit less attractive? Yeah. How
we our premiums are the way we charge is based on a loss projection. So if anything, we're consistent. What's not consistent is the rest of the marketplace.
Okay.
So an independent agent, because they'll represent a number of different companies, they might we might be presented, but then someone might be 30% lower than we are, and that business owner would say, "Well, I'm going to go with the program that's 30% lower." So,
right.
So that's what typically happens. We are currently in a very competitive marketplace as it relates to workers' compensation insurance. And that's one of the main reasons why we're projecting to only grow by 10%.
Yeah, but you've been growing at 30% in the past few years, right? So it sounds like your offer is so compelling, when people dig a little bit deeper and go, yeah, you know, they're mm-hmm. not, you're not 30% cheaper versus this other guy for this year, but you know, if you're able to take a longer term view, right, your total cost could be 30% cheaper.
Well, you're absolutely right. As I like to say, higher level CEOs that are there and at our presentation and understand the value that we bring are willing to pay more for our product and service than a lot of our competitors. Sometimes it does depend. Once that differential, that delta, reaches 20 to 25+%, right around 20-25%, we'll end up with about half of them. Half mm-hmm. of our policyholders will renew. When it gets much over that point, then you know the other half will not, and they'll seek a lower premium. So somewhat interesting, and if you happen to go on our website and you looked at one of our testimonials by Tim Scheib, he describes he was with us. He had significant reductions in his claims. His premium was going down. He went for a lower cost option. And as he says, he thought they were better than what they were. Their claims spiked up for 2 years. They came back to us and stayed with us for a period of time. So actually until he retired. So that's just an example. That happens oftentimes where someone might be motivated to take a lower price. They do take that lower price. They see adverse, I'm going to say trends in terms of their employee injuries, and then they come back to us.
Right. Simply because they don't have someone from the outside coming in and reviewing the safety claims, safety numbers, and making adjustments on a monthly basis, potentially, right?
Yeah, it's more than that, though. It's not just that one person on the safety. I think of a three-legged stool. If someone's going to have a really high-functioning program, and one leg of the stool is at the top management of the company, the CEO level, and their buy-in or support of safety and safety programs. Then the second leg of the stool would be the safety programs, someone to deliver those safety programs effectively. The third leg of the stool is the claim adjudication and the communication between all three, meaning safety and claims. And if you take any leg out, and oftentimes it's that claim piece, in other words, how those claims or workplace injuries and accidents, how they're processed, delivering that quality of care, getting the employee back to their pre-injury state as quickly as possible. If that piece isn't there, even if you have a highly motivated CEO and you have very good safety programs, there's still a good chance that they're not going to have a high-functioning program.
Right.
You really need all three components.
Can you
share and we bring two of the three of those components.
Can you share a little bit more about what your team does on the claim side to help get employees back on the job more quickly?
Yes, and it starts with caseload. So the average in our industry, I would say a fairly low caseload would be about 150 claims, so that an adjuster would be handling.
Is that our claims adjusters per year?
No, neither. That they just would have open at any one time, because okay, they're getting new claims and they're closing claims. Okay. So they're just how many open claims that they're handling, and our adjusters are handling fewer than 50. And so that they have the time to work with the injured employee, and when I say work, to explain the state statute, explain exactly what's covered, how it's covered, provide speed of care so that someone's not waiting a week to get into a physician's office. We want to make sure that they're getting the care that they need very quickly. We also want to make sure that the care that's being provided are from high quality with great outcomes providers, doctors, hospitals, and then we want to make sure that they get back into a transitional position in within their employer as quickly as possible, because the AMA, American Medical Association, the orthopedic associations have done studies, and what their studies show that when an injured employee comes back to their employer and starts working, that they heal more quickly. So whatever those medical restrictions are, we create a position for that employee so that they can come back to work as quickly as possible, because they heal more quickly. And that's what the studies show.
Right. Now earlier you mentioned how your claims team will help to ensure that the person filing the claim, the person who's injured, will have great providers of health care. Now, you're paying for the claim, right? You're paying for the health care. So,
correct. Yeah.
You know, in a way, not to say that you do this, but I could imagine there could be, you know, for an insurance company to be motivated to go with the low cost provider. You know, what's your thinking on that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's, I think, doing a tremendous disservice to the injured employee and to the employer, which is their policy holder. Our philosophy is, if one of our values is to do what is right, just, and fair. So I always say to all of our employees that if you can go through this litmus test with whatever decision, because there are a lot of judgment decisions, that if you can answer, is it right? Is it just? Is it fair? Then you're able to do anything. You're empowered in your position to make any decision. So we want to make sure that employees get the absolute best care. And if you think about it, some would argue, well, yes, you're going to pay more for health care. And in some cases, I'm sure we do. But if you look at it this way, if we're paying more for quality outcomes, we might even be paying less. There's no way for me to prove that one way or another, but I'd like to think that long term, we would actually pay less because we're providing such quality outcomes, which are better than just paying a lower cost per service.
Right. Yeah, I can totally see that, right? I mean, if you can shorten the recovery time by a week or by a month, right, just from that alone, just because you're giving someone who's a better access to better care, better physicians who know what's going on, a better physical therapy, right? I mean, it all, in correct, the long run, I think, would pan out as well.
Yep, that's our philosophy.
Now, can we go back a little bit about your expansion across the state?
Sure.
So can you recap again how many states you're in now? Is it three states, four states?
So four states. So okay. Pennsylvania is where we started and where most of our business is. Then New Jersey, Michigan, and Maryland.
Okay. Do you have a target as to when you're going to be in all 50 states?
I do not at this point.
Okay. So do you have a target for how many new states you'd like to add on a regular basis? I mean, like, you want to add one state per year, three states per year, anything like that?
Yeah. So ideally, here's the way I would answer that. Ideally, if we can satisfy our growth objectives in the states that we're currently in, then it makes more sense for us to grow in those states because our business is local. In other words, each state has different statute and has different nuances. So it's somewhat difficult to learn a new state and to be a high quality provider in that new state. So it's not just, for example, licensing, obtaining the licenses in all the states. There is a learning curve. And so ideally, if we could grow in our four states and satisfy our growth goals in the next, say, 3 years, we won't be that motivated to expand into additional states. However, once we feel that there might be a saturation point, and I say saturation because we're truly a niche market. Again, we won't write anything under $100,000 in premium. We like companies that have had poor loss experience as long as at their CEO, C-suite level, as long as they're willing to support our safety programs. And we like businesses that most of their employees are working within four walls. In other words, not a contractor moving from job site to job site, or say a trucking operation where most of their employees are on the road traveling in different areas. We feel that we can control the safety environment much more so if it's confined within four walls. So that's essentially a target market. If we can satisfy our growth in the states that we're in with our target market, then we will probably, we'll grow or expand states more slowly than, say, if we can't, then we'll look to grow or add on additional states.
Right. How long ago did you add on a new state?
Yeah, so we went in the fourth quarter to become licensed in New Jersey. So the business that we're writing outside of Pennsylvania right now is written on that partnership insurance company that I spoke of earlier. Mm-hmm. That's A-rated.
Okay. So you added New Jersey in the fourth quarter. How do you get independent agents signed up to be able to sell your product?
So we have a position I'll refer to as a marketing field underwriter. And essentially what that position does is it calls on independent insurance agencies, explains how we're different, explains about our company, educates them about who we are, and then looks for an account or two to begin a relationship to work on. And then that's typically how we'll start with an independent agent.
And when you say work on an account or two, by account you mean the company that the independent agency is working with, or do you refer to the independent agency as an account?
Yes. No, I would say a company. When I say an account, a company that they're working with that fits our niche and that we can provide the insurance coverage and safety programs for.
Right. So how's that coming along so far in New Jersey? I know you just started reaching out to the
insurance. Actually, it's coming along really well in New Jersey. We're seeing quite a bit of demand in New Jersey for what we're providing.
Any sense as to how far along you are until you'll be in a saturation point in New Jersey?
Wow, that's a really good question. I do not know when that point will be. I wish I had a firm answer for a question like that, but I do not. It's a lot of it is canvassing the state in terms of talking to the independent insurance agents, getting a flow of business from them. So when we are working within a state for a period of years, then we get a better feel to answer that question.
Right. Okay, great. Three final questions for you. Say you have a billboard on one of the busy, fast-moving turnpikes in the New Jersey area, for example. What mm-hmm. would be the Synergy Comp billboard message? And mind you, people only have about, on average, 6 seconds to see your billboard message. So what is your six-second message?
Yeah, my six-second message would be all about safety. So provide a better workplace for your employees, which are injury-free.
All right. It's an injury-free workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And last two questions. Who are your ideal clients? Like, and I guess there could be two categories here, either independent insurance agencies or the end companies that they should perhaps speak to their agent about, who should reach out to their agent about learning more about your company. So who are those people and what's the best way for them to contact you or the independent insurance agent who can sell your policy?
Yeah. So first, let's talk about independent agents. It's those independent agents who truly care about their customer and want a better model and want a safer work environment for their clients or their customers. And those are and highly educated. The more educated the independent agent is, the more that they tend to be drawn to our program. That's first. And then in terms of the actual companies who become our policyholders, those would be CEOs, CFOs, who truly understand not only the direct benefits or in terms of reducing their insurance costs over time, but also the indirect cost savings, as I like to refer to them as high-level leaders. Those high-level leaders are drawn to our program, and they're the ones who stay with our program.
Can you share the verticals that are good fits for your product?
Yes, manufacturing, healthcare, social service. We've actually written quite a bit of in nonprofit social services also. We do some agriculture, some food service, even some school systems, education environments, colleges, universities.
Interesting that you said nonprofits. I would have, to my mind, when I think of a nonprofit, I don't really imagine a place where a lot of injuries occur.
Yeah, so I'm going to give you an example. Our largest customer came out of self-insurance, and we quoted them a price which were lower than their annualized claims. Their claims were costing them on an annualized basis. And they came to me and they said, how can you do this? And by the way, they had a number of group homes. So some nursing homes, this was a large nonprofit, faith-based nonprofit. So they had nursing homes. They had some shelters for, let's say, women or homeless men, and some also mental challenges. And so here was my response. When we analyze their workplace injuries, every time they had a workplace injury, it was costing them over $12,000. When we compare that to our average cost at roughly $3,800, that's the reason that delta, that differential, is the reason why we're able to provide a fully insured program in place of their self-insured program that's actually less expensive than what their actual claims costs were in the year. So they've been with us now for 3 years, and we've been driving down their premium each year. Not only was it less in year one, but it's been less in year two and year three.
Right. Okay. So even though they're a nonprofit, they still can incur claims and you can find improvements still to make it work.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah. And what's the best way for your ideal independent agents and your ideal companies to contact you and your team?
So our website, synergyinsurance.com, and there's a contact area on the website, and that would be the easiest and the best way to contact.
Should the And companies contact you directly as well, or is there like perhaps
yes.
a they should?
Okay. Yeah, they can. We do not write business directly. So what we would do is work with an independent agent in their locale to work with them to provide the solution for them.
All right, fantastic. Thanks for joining us today, Lou, and sharing how
you
accelerated your company's high value sales.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
We've been speaking with Lou Kachulis, the president of Synergy Comp Insurance Company, about his company's rapid growth. For interviews with other fast-growing, high-value sales companies, or to learn how we can accelerate your firm's high-value sales through automation, visit eversprint.com.